We're reading today from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And we start with text 191, which doesn't have a purport. There are a few texts with no purport, and then this one that we see on the screen has a brief purport. So I'll just read the ones without a purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Bhattacharya, you are exactly like Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly kingdom. Indeed, no one within this world has the power to explain the scriptures in such a way." So just to give the context here, Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, has spoken to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Vedanta Sutra. He was feeling that Lord Chaitanya was not sufficiently knowledgeable in the Vedanta Sutra, and as a young, beautiful sannyasi, he was worried that he would not be able to keep his sannyas vows for the duration of his life. And so, out of affection, paternal affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was quite elderly and extremely learned, as we see in this verse, exactly like Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly kingdom, the Bhattacharya spoke to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days, Vedanta Sutra. And they had some discussion after that. Lord Chaitanya did not respond to this long recitation because when he was asked, "Why aren't you responding?" he explained that the shlokas of the Vedanta Sutra are very clear and self-explanatory, but your explanation of them has covered them just like the clouds covering the sun, which was quite an affront to the Bhattacharya. So there was some discussion after this, and so at this point, the Lord is saying to the Bhattacharya how exalted he is. However, there's a problem that he's not understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a person. He's a Mayavadi. So we'll just go on here. Translation. "My dear Bhattacharya, you have certainly explained this verse by the prowess of your vast learning." The verse he's referring to is the Atmarama verse that we heard about yesterday from Nilamata Prabhu. "My dear Bhattacharya, you have certainly explained this verse by the prowess of your vast learning. But you should know that besides this scholarly explanation, there is another purport to this verse." So the Bhattacharya had explained it in terms of logic and reason, but Lord Chaitanya is introducing an alternative explanation. Translation. "Upon the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain the verse without touching upon the 9 explanations given by the Bhattacharya." So this is today's verse, text 194. Translation. "There are 11 words in the Atmarama verse, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained each word one after the other." Purport. The words in the Atmarama verse are Atmaramaha, Cha, Munaya, Nigrantaha, Api, Arukrame, Kurvanti, Ahaitukim, Bhaktim, Itam Bhuta Guna, and Hari. Om Aginata Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sja Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brinda Vaneshwade Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse once more. There are 11 words in the Atmarama verse, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained each word one after the other. So as I mentioned yesterday, we heard about the Atmarama verse, and we heard the lengthy explanation that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami in the 24th chapter of the Madhya Lila, much later on. I thought today, because right now we're coming to the cusp of the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, we're on text 194, and still the Bhattacharya is not yet liberated. It's rather a slow process. So I thought, because we're just on the cusp of his liberation, what we could do this morning is to see the trajectory, if you will, of how he finally comes to this point from being an ardent Mayavadi to becoming a wonderful devotee of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's significant, one thing to note, that it's called the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this chapter. It's not the conversion. There's an important distinction between those. If one is converted, it means a superficial designation has changed. Like one can be a Hindu. I understand in India now this is very common, that Hindus are being converted to Christianity. Or anyone can be converted from one religion to another religion. So this is a superficial designation that does not do justice to what is happening here. Liberation means that one becomes freed from misconceptions of thinking that I am this body, that I have any connection at all with this body or mind, because actually each and every one of us is a soul, an atma. And to understand that I am a soul and I am eternally a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is liberation. It is not being converted. You know, one can be born in America and think oneself in America and then come to the UK and become a citizen of the UK, but these are all superficial designations. What we're speaking about here, as far as liberation, means understanding our actual identity and becoming free from the modes of ignorance and passion and goodness and all the things that those entail. So it's quite a different understanding between liberation and conversion. And we find here from the very beginning that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a very cultured person, a very respectful person. He's living in Jagannath Puri, so quite near to the Jagannath Temple. And we can understand that his life is full of what's called agyata sukriti. Agyata, the word gya refers to knowledge, and agyata means unknown, and sukriti is pious activities. So his life is full of pious activities, as any person living in the land of Bharat who is respectful and cultured, their lives will be full of such pious activities, meaning that he goes to the Jagannath deities regularly, he offers his respect, he honors Jagannath Prasadam. So this is all to his eternal credit. Srila Prabhupada explained agyata sukriti, unknown pious activities, and he indicated the children of the devotees. And he said they don't really know what they're doing, these young children, that they see their parents come to the temple and offer obeisances to the deities. And the children imitate. That's what children do. They imitate offering their obeisances. They may imitate singing and dancing in front of the deities, playing the instruments, honoring prasadam. And they don't have any idea of the significance of these activities. But nonetheless, it's to their eternal credit, their eternal bank balance, that all these things are being added up in their bank balance. And at one time, that will fructify, and they'll be very wealthy. They'll realize their wealth. Another example he gave of agyata sukriti was Ajamil. Ajamil, as we know, was a debauchee, became a debauchee, had a terrible life in terms of morality and ethics. But from within his heart, Krishna inspired him to name his youngest son Narayan. And he was very fond of his youngest son. And he would, all day he would be saying, Narayan, please come here. Narayan, let me do this for you. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And again, this is a Gyata Sukriti, and it's to his eternal credit that this is going on. So similarly, in a similar way, the Bhattacharya has much to his credit in terms of a Gyata Sukriti, not only because he lived in Jagannath Puri and honored Jagannath Prasadam and probably honored Vaishnavas in Jagannath Puri, but we find that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri, although he was traveling with a small group of devotees, there was some alteration there, and he traveled on alone. He left his associates to follow him. And when he came to the Jagannath temple, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy, and he wanted to embrace Jagannath. He was running towards Jagannath, and he fainted, overwhelmed by ecstasy. And at that time, the watchman, who thought he was faking it, I suppose, he was going to beat the unconscious Lord. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and he stopped the watchman from beating the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the shelter of everyone, as Krishna himself, non-different from Krishna. He is the protector of everyone. But in this pastime, he was protected by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who did not know that he was a Vaishnava, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is incredible, Agyata Sukriti, that he protected the Lord. And the Lord remained unconscious for some time in the temple, and it became time for the offering. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya arranged for the Lord in this unconscious state to be carried to his own home. The watchman helped, and some disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's helped. And so there the Supreme Personality of Godhead was in the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya's associates who were behind him arrived at the temple and were directed to the Bhattacharya's house because they wanted to see the Lord. And when Lord Chaitanya was still unconscious at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya greeted these great Vaishnavas and he offered his respects to Nityananda Prabhu. So again, we find this bank balance of Agyata Sukriti growing tremendously. And then when the devotees were there, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of his unconscious state, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very pleased to get prasadam from the Jagannath temple and offer it to these personalities. So here we find the value of culture, the value just of respect, of knowing what to do, that all this Agyata Sukriti, unknown to him, is piling up. And then he arranges for places where the Lord and his associates can live. Again, more pious credits. I should mention that it can be a bit confusing because you will read in other places in the scriptures that not by all sorts of pious activities can one go back to Godhead. So it's explained later on in the Madhya Lila that there are actually three types of pious activities. There's one type of pious activity that we're speaking of now that will lead to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's another type of pious activity which is simply material, giving to the poor, providing for the poor. That will lead to the heavenly planets, but will not lead to coming out of this material world. And there's a third type of pious activity that leads to liberation. So those last two are not actually considered pious because they do not free one from this material world. Those who give to the poor, you know, do charity in that way, they will still be subjected to birth and death. So in that sense, it's not the ultimate piety, although it's recommended for those who, for whatever reason, cannot do devotional service. And even if one becomes liberated, if one does not have attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is also temporary. One will come back again to this material world to enjoy varieties. So the actual pious activity is what we're speaking of here, this agyata sukriti that leads to devotional service, that enriches the soil where the bhakti lata bij will one day sprout. But despite all of this, it was not enough for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was still entrenched in this Mayavadi conception and was still quite convinced of it. Even he was very fortunate in that his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, was a great Vaishnava. And because they were very intimately related, they had a very sweet relationship. And Gopinathacharya tried in so many ways to awaken, to liberate Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to his actual position as eternal servant of Krishna. At one point he would argue with him, sometimes he would blaspheme him, sometimes he would praise him, sometimes he would laugh at him. In so many ways, through conversations, he tried to touch the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He even quoted scriptures. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, when Gopinathacharya said, in this age, this is the incarnation for Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, there's only three incarnations in the three yugas. In this yuga, there's no incarnation. And Gopinathacharya quoted the scriptures, the Mahabharata, the Srimad Bhagavatam, showing that there is an incarnation in this age, a covered incarnation. And indeed, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was that personality. But unfortunately, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't take it seriously. And the result was Gopinathacharya told him that because you have not done any devotional service, you have not received the mercy of the Lord, and therefore you cannot understand the Lord. Without devotional service, you do not receive the Lord's mercy, and without at least a pinch of the Lord's mercy, there is no question of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in response to that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, so what is the evidence that you have received the mercy of the Lord? A bit challenging. And Gopinathacharya responded that knowledge of the Lord is evidence of the mercy of the Lord. So in that sense, we can all understand that to one extent or another, we have all received the Lord's mercy because we have some grain, I hope, of understanding the Lord. So it's very instructive that the agyata sukriti, although it was massive for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it was not enough. Also, as it's said by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he was extremely learned, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the priest of the heavenly kingdom. And in this current incarnation as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he spoke to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days, Vedanta Sutra, there's no indication that he had a book with him, that he had notes with him. Extemporaneously, for 7 days, he spoke Vedanta Sutra. Extremely knowledgeable, no question about it. That he knew the scriptures. In fact, earlier in this chapter, I just wanted to point this out. We're reading, right, text 194. So in text 12, this is when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unconscious out of ecstasy for Lord Jagannath. And this is what the Bhattacharya thought. It says here, I'll read text 11 verse. Sitting beside Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought, this is a transcendental, ecstatic transformation brought about by love of Krishna. Upon seeing the sign of Sudipta Sattvika, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could immediately understand the transcendental, ecstatic transformation in the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such a sign takes place only in the bodies of eternally liberated devotees. So, just looking at it from the point of view of the erudition of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he has read all the scriptures. He comes across this unique experience of love of God, this gorgeous form of Lord Chaitanya, the color of molten gold. He's lying unconscious. And he recognizes this sign of ecstasy in the Lord. In the purport, I won't read the whole purport, but Prabhupada explains that there are actually eight kinds of transformations in the bodies of advanced devotees. And sometimes if there's only one or two of these ecstatic transformations, the devotees can cover it so it's not visible. If there are three or four, that's called smoking, when it's coverable. But if there are more transformations, three or four, it's called lighted, and it becomes very difficult for the devotee to conceal those transformations. Then when there's four or five, it's called blazing. And finally, when all eight are manifest, it's called udipta, inflamed. And he says, let me read this sentence, and when all eight symptoms are multiplied 1,000 times and are visible all at once, the devotee is in sudipta, intensely inflamed stage. Nitya Siddha Bhakta indicates the eternally liberated associates of the Lord. Such devotees enjoy the company of the Lord in four relationships, as servant, friend, parent, or conjugal lover. So my point here is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is so learned in the scriptures that even though he has never seen this before, indeed, who has seen this before, but he's recognizing it as the highest state, intensely inflamed, sudipta stage. Just to point out the erudition of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this is something really extraordinary. That he can speak Vedanta Sutra, that he's so thoroughly absorbed in the scriptures, he can recognize this ecstatic symptom in the Lord, and yet it's not enough for him to become liberated. He's still entrenched in this idea of we're all God. You know, God does not have a form. So even that is not enough. And we might point out also something truly extraordinary, that here he has the personal association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He carries him to his home. At one point it's described he takes the dust from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet and puts it on his head. He's personally serving the Lord prasadam. He's serving the devotees. He's giving the Lord shelter, you know, a place to stay. And with all that, with the personal association of the Lord, he does not understand devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not understand that the Supreme Lord is a person. So this is the crux of the matter. It's what we've come to now, the cusp where liberation will actually occur in the next few verses. We're going to give away the turning point here. What to do? For those who want to be left in suspense, they should stop listening now. But the turning point is finally that the Lord himself, as we're mentioned in this verse, there are 11 words in the Atmarama verse, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained each word one after the other. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has given 9 explanations for this Atmarama verse. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without touching those 9 explanations, he is going to give 18 explanations based on bhakti, based on transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he hears those explanations from the Lord, finally what happens is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya becomes humble. That's what was missing, the humility. All the logic that he had, the pseudo-logic, the false arguments, the word jugglery, the imaginative, speculative reasoning that he put into understanding Vedanta Sutra, this created a hard shell over his heart, and there was no mercy could enter there. It was too thick and too substantial for mercy to enter, despite his Agyata Sukriti, despite his learning, despite his personally serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because he lacked humility, therefore, all those things were to no avail. However, we find in just a few verses, he uses this word, garvita. I was very proud of my learning, and therefore I have committed so many offenses. I could not understand the Lord. And because that humility cracks this crust of pseudo-logic and of speculation and word jugglery, then the bhakti lata bij can come, and then the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, like rain, can enter the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And what we find is, almost miraculously, he becomes this extraordinary Vaishnava, just an extraordinary Vaishnava. You almost think, how can it happen so quickly? But because his heart was rich with the Gata Sukriti, because he had so much knowledge, all that knowledge was zero, but this humility allowed the one to come in front of all those zeros, so it became a very large number. And he became amazing, just an amazing Vaishnava. And it's really within our experience also, we've seen repeatedly really that people who grow up in Bharat Varsha and maybe their whole lives they were watering tulsi or offering respects to the deities or serving Vaishnavas, and yet perhaps they worship demigods, perhaps they're Mayavadi impersonalists. But when Prabhupada's teachings comes into their lives and they take it seriously with a little humility, they also flourish. They become extraordinary Vaishnavas. We've seen that over and over. So we can understand how it could also happen, and how it also did happen with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So it's a great lesson to us, and really important to explore. I have some. See, where do we do this? Oh yeah, sorry. I should have done this earlier, and that's the purport. But I tried to summarize these ideas in a few shlokas here. This is from the 10th canto, after Lord Brahma is humiliated, you could say, that he's stolen the calves and cows from Krishna, and then Krishna manifests all those calves and cows, and Brahma realizes he's made a terrible mistake. So he offers many, many prayers to the Lord. This is one of them. Atapi te deva padambuja dvaya prasada lesanu grihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno echanya ekopi chiram vichanvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the supreme personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. So this verse was also quoted in this chapter by Gopinathacharya to explain why this knowledge was hidden from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, why he could not access it. It's stated right here that he was not favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore he could not understand the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another verse in this connection. One could ask, well, how does one receive the mercy of the Lord? And that's explained by Narottam Das Thakur. Sadhya Vaishnav Seva Nishtar Prayecha Keva. Unless one serves the spiritual master and the acharyas, one cannot get liberation. Also, later on in this chapter, the 6th chapter, Gopinathacharya naturally is ecstatic that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has become a Vaishnava. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to him, this is because of your mercy on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. In other words, the Vaishnava has come desiring this person to understand who he is and who Krishna is and to reignite that relationship. And because that desire of the devotee was so strong, therefore it was successful, that happened. And Gopinathacharya responds to Lord Chaitanya that actually it is your mercy. So it is both the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Every morning we sing this beautiful prayer, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. If we want to achieve the mercy of Krishna, we must first get the mercy of the spiritual master. And then there is some hope for us. So that's what's said here in this beautiful prayer by Narottam Das Thakur. And then finally, of course, our famous verse, that this is the key. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, who does not expect personal honor yet is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the name of the Lord. So this is the essential ingredient that the author of this wonderful Chaitanya Charitamrita says, we should string this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it around our necks for constant remembrance. Such a critical verse. And this is, I'm trying to point out, this is the verse, or this is the mood that enabled Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to receive liberation. If it was not for his humility being awakened, he would have remained encrusted in these false ideas and this mental speculation and imaginative interpretations that were so unhelpful for him in terms of his spiritual development, blocking his spiritual development. So also, because in this purport today, Prabhupada mentions the 11 words in the Atmarama verse and in the shloka, I wanted to bring your attention also, we had quite a thorough discussion of that yesterday, but also this is something that can be found on the internet. If you simply Google explanation of the Atmarama verse, this is one of the things that came up. It's developed by some devotees, Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu and some others. And you can see what was being discussed yesterday graphically, which is very nice. This is the verse itself, the Atmarama verse. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. So those are the 11 words. And here they are, broken down. And each one, as we know, has many different meanings. Atma means body, mind, absolute truth, natural characteristics, firmness, intelligence, and endeavor. And similarly, Atmarama, Muni, each one, the words are given with their definitions. And these are more of the 11. Just the word api can be used as possibility, question, doubt, censure, aggregation, appropriate application of things, extravagance. So when these are combined, of course you can't read this, it's too small, but if you look at it on your computers at home, you'll be able to see that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the association of Sanatana Goswami, came up with these 61 different understandings of this one verse. For those who have an analytical mind, this might be of interest to you. And finally, the conclusion. I may know Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva may know, and Vyasadeva may know or may not know Srimad Bhagavatam. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries. And the purport, only one who is taken to devotional service can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the spotless Purana for a transcendentalist Paramahamsa. One who has developed pure Krishna consciousness and has served the pure devotee, the spiritual master, can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So those are a few thoughts about this verse.